There's no holiday season magic.
Blog Talk Radio.
Flight delays and cancellations. FlightAware says there have already been more than 3,000 flights that haven't taken off on time or have been axed altogether. Those planning to leave or go to Seattle are having the most problems. About 30% of flights originating from Seattle-Tacoma International Airport have been canceled. That same figure applies to flights going to Seattle. The National Weather Service is warning of extreme weather throughout the U.S. today. The agency says wind chill temperatures could drop to 50 degrees below zero from Montana to northern Minnesota, with over a foot of snow expected in the western mountains. Meantime, record-setting warm temperatures are forecast in the southeastern U.S., where today's highs could reach into the 70s and 80s. There's also a risk of flash flooding and possible tornadoes in parts of Georgia and Alabama. Prepare for a tsunami of COVID cases to start the new year. That's the warning from the World Health Organization. Dr. Mario Ramirez says it'll be at least a month of cases skyrocketing.
We're probably in store for at least 4 weeks, maybe even longer, of a significant surge in cases.
Officials point out while the new Omicron variant is raging at lightning speed, the Delta variant is also continuing to spread. Some 900,000 new infections are being reported around the world every day. Johnson & Johnson's COVID booster shot provides strong protection against the Omicron variant. According to a new clinical trial study done in South Africa, researchers found two shots of the J&J vaccine lowered the risk of hospitalization due to Omicron by about 85%. Gas prices are dipping right now, and some experts predict it'll stay low as we inch into next year. Texas energy industry economist Bud Weinstein says the spike in COVID is keeping demand down and more oil is coming on the market. He says the Biden administration is waking up to the fact that we need fossil fuels. On top of that, he says there's an election coming up. He predicts the White House will do everything it can to prevent a spike at the gas pump before then. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
Need a break from the sound bites and the talking heads? Do you want information you can actually use? Information that'll change your life for the better? Then listen to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will show you how to retire in 2 to 5 years. Your age doesn't matter. Turn off the pundits and turn on the passive income. Tune in to the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Tune in every Monday at 8 a.m., Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5 p.m., and Thursdays at noon, right here on KKNW.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for alternative talk weather outlook for Thursday. Light snow showers turning to more snow later on this afternoon. High temperatures just above freezing, around 33, 34 in selected areas. For tonight, snow showers will hang around. Low temperatures dropping down to about 28. For Friday, mostly sunny skies with a break from the snow. High temperatures around 31. It's mostly cloudy skies for New Year's Eve evening. Low temperatures down to about 24. For Saturday and New Year's Day, mixed rain and snow showers. High temperatures around 40.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show. If your life is stressful and unfulfilling, would you like to make changes but just don't know how? I want to recommend The Necktie and the Jaguar, a fabulous book by Carl Greer. This is a memoir. It has questions that help us understand what our story is about, how to change it, and how to live a life that is so aligned with who we are. For more information to purchase the book, go to TransformationTalkRadio.com or go to CarlGreer.com.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Well, hello. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. In case you're wondering, I am not Dr. Pat. I am Anita Russell, and along with my friends Gail Hunter and Mavis Bauman, we are excited to bring you this guest host episode of the Dr. Pat Show. So Mavis Gale and I are the hosts of Inflection Point Podcast on Transformation Talk Radio. We air the first and third Wednesday of the month. We got listeners on a journey towards anti-racism. But today we're going to do something a little bit different as guest hosts for the Dr. Pat Show. Today we will share three backstories of vision, purpose, and action that came together to form a fourth story. And we're going to begin our storytelling journey with my dear friend, Mavis.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. While you've got some time off, I hope you'll enjoy these stories. I am currently president of Seed a Better Life. It is a nonprofit that we formed for the benefit of helping genocide survivors in Rwanda. My education was at the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy and International Business. I worked on Wall Street for a while. Then I started my own business as a freelance corporate writer and a photographer. After a while, I volunteered to be a headcount cut at J.P. Morgan, and that's when I broke free. So that's where my story really began. I grew up in Nebraska, so you'll hear a little bit in Midwestern twang and points of view here. But I live in New Jersey now, and I'm working with these wonderful ladies, Gail and Anita. As I mentioned, Seed raises funds for the benefit of orphans and vulnerable children in Rwanda. Children who have been affected by the 1994 genocide against the Tutsi. And for those of you who don't know much about that, you might have seen the movie Hotel Rwanda, which is having some issues these days. But that's the story we're talking about. Almost a million people were killed in 100 days. And no one was spared. These people were killed mostly by machete or blunt clubs with nails in the end of them. It was just done by hand. And I was shocked and fascinated by this story. And, you know, it's just beyond imagination. And I hope that people know about this story and learn from it. And, you know, as they say, never forget. But a year after the genocide, a friend of mine, a colleague from grad school, came to see me, and she had a handful of pictures from the aftermath of the genocide. She was there with the U.S. State Department, and she showed me these pictures, and I just couldn't believe. It was like looking at a movie. You know, you just can't absorb this. All these precious, you know, Rwandan bodies of all age just drying in the sun. So I just really started to ask myself, how can people do this to each other? How do we get to that point? And now, you know, I learned that in Rwanda, victims and perpetrators have moved beyond this horrible event, and they live next to each other. And I just wanted to know how that was possible. So really, it's forgiveness that pulled me into the Rwandan story, because while this was all going on, my marriage was ending, and I was just devastated, and I was full of rage, and I just felt like my life had been stolen. So I just kind of went on this quest. I kept reading about forgiveness, and I volunteered to go with my church group to Rwanda. I couldn't believe the, you know, how lucky I was that that happened in that time. So I read as much as I could before, and when I got there, I wanted to learn, how are they surviving? The country was practically leveled. There were no, you know, no electricity, no infrastructure left. It was just completely destroyed. So my when I went, my goal was slightly different than what my church wanted to do, which was to build a leadership center. My dreams as an individual have always been kind of small-ish, not to build an organization, a large organization at least, but to do something small, to not be frozen by the amount of grief and loss that's out there in the world. So when I went to Rwanda, I was very determined to at least feed somebody. So I even teased my travel mates that I was going to buy a goat and put it in the Jeep with us. So they started to take me seriously. On that trip, I met a lovely woman by the name of Deborah Kagwitsagaya. She was asked by the mayor of her town to help a household of genocide survivors. And these are young people, sort of like in their late teens or 20s, who lost all of their family members in the genocide. So I was there in 2008, so we're 14 years after the genocide, and these young people have nothing. They are not in school. They don't have enough to eat. And it's just, you know, it was an insurmountable problem. And I just felt like I could do something. So I chatted with Deborah a lot, and we really hit it off. And by the time I got home, I was just hit with this desire to do something. In fact, when I was at the survivor's house, I remember placing my feet on the soil in the back of the house, and it felt like home to me. It felt like Nebraska. I felt so much a part of this human family that I just knew that was where I was supposed to be, because, you know, listeners don't know what a chicken I am and how afraid I am to travel to, you know, places that are different. But at this moment, you know, it was like God gave me the courage, and he brought my skills and my education and my dreams and my heart all into one place where they could be used together, which was a pretty phenomenal sensation. It was almost like a physical experience. So anyway, I just felt like I could do something for these people. I didn't know what it was going to be, but I could eliminate, you know, maybe 1 hour or even a minute of suffering for somebody. I used to tell the story about if you've ever had a toothache in the middle of the night, you just want to die. But if somebody gives you Tylenol, your worldview has changed. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, I can do that for somebody. I can get them through the next hour, because my family has done it for me many times. You know, those of us who really have what we need can do that for others. So I just started very small. So anyway, when I got home, Deborah reached out to me by email. And she said, oh, my goodness, Maeve, there's one woman who's got a genocide injury in her leg that is festering. Mind you, this is 14 years later, and that leg had not healed shut. A lot of them had machete wounds to their heads and their bodies. And, you know, they had headaches and all kinds of ongoing issues, digestional issues, because they ate things from the soil when they were hiding in the bush during the genocide. So Tylenol and vitamins and a lot of other things. But anyway, so I sent $200 to Deborah to take this young woman, Martha was her name, to the hospital. Her leg was so swollen that they were ready to remove the leg. Well, as it turns out, the hospital was able to put in a drain and get her on a round of antibiotics, and she was able to save her leg, $200. And that was such inspiration for me. It made me feel so powerful. And I thought, you know, small has a huge impact, a small act like that. Anita might have something to say about that story later, but anyway, it just really encouraged me to keep trying. So after that, Deborah and I stayed in touch, and we just kept adding one student after another. These were kids that had no access to school. They were home alone. Their lives were just stopped in their tracks, and they had no way of proceeding, no way to get clothes, no way to really have a full tummy so they could study. So my friends apparently had heard me talk along these lines over the arc of my life, and I don't even remember talking in those terms, but when I told them that I wanted to do this work in Rwanda, they just began to financially support the effort, and they are still in my corner watching this organization impact one life after another. So one of the fun things about the trip was I got to try out my new digital camera. I had done some photography work for corporations, but going to this new place, this colorful place, I just had such a great time with my camera. And that leads to another story we'll probably hear a little bit more about. But those pictures were what I used to come home and tell the story and to help raise funds. People have asked me, why Rwanda? Well, I told you about the forgiveness story, but people say, why not? There's so many poor people. There are people that are struggling here in this country. I hear that, and what I encourage people to do is, what place is calling you? Where do you feel like you want to help? For some reason, Africa hit me. I don't know why, but Africa just struck me, and Rwanda specifically. So I learned a lot through the experience of Rwanda that I apply now here in the United States, but I just still, my heart is there. And my connection with Deborah there is as if she were my sister. I would have never known that I could go so far away to someone and meet someone who had grown up in a different culture, in a different language, and we could be like sisters. We understand each other's facial expressions and humor. I mean, sometimes those don't even translate in a family. Mm-hmm. But Deb and I are just cut from the same cloth. And we have had so much fun together, you know, just doing this work, little by little. So now the cool thing is we have 60 kids in school, and we have had about 150 who have gone through our program in some way, whether it was food support, medical support, education, transportation, something that just helps kids to get involved in economic life, in educational life. And, you know, like I say, it's not a big number, but it matches me, and it fits with the calling that I think I have. I look back at my life, and I've talked with my friends here in this room, Gail and Anita, about how I feel that the pain in my life has all been brought together and recruited for a very concrete purpose. So, the pain of losing someone you love, the pain of rejection, the pain, the physical pain, a lot of these things I've experienced myself. And when I saw these people alone, I just had such an enormous amount of love for them in my heart. That's my fuel, people. That is my fuel, because sometimes I get tired, let me tell you. When I worked on this, I just have sort of a big, hairy, audacious goal, you know, just a huge dream for this, that one person who is touched by our group might be the person to turn the tide should there ever be conflict in Rwanda again. That they will have had people from other countries reach out to them, give them an education, help them with their critical thinking, and maybe they can turn the tide. You know, like Desmond Tutu, whom we just lost, he turns the tide. Nelson Mandela, I don't know if my, I call them my kids, they're grown now, but I don't know if it will be one of my kids, but maybe one of theirs, because I just think that these small acts of kindness and love get multiplied in the universe. Sounds a little airy-fairy, but I bet you could point to one yourself. So I guess at this point, I just want to say that I'm so thrilled to be in this mastermind group with Anita and Gail. They are helping me learn things about myself on this journey in Rwanda, which is extraordinary. And I would like to say to listeners, too, you know, often people are saying, I want to find my purpose. And I think actually purpose comes after you're honest with what you love to do, your skills and your passion. And then your purpose kind of calls you and you say, this is what I want to do. And that to me too is God's economy and how we are recruited for things that make life better here on earth. So I think I've used my time. I just want to thank you for listening. And if you want to know any more, please go to our website. It's called feedabetterlife.org. There are all kind of good stories. And, of course, my fabulous pictures. So thank you. Thanks for listening.
Mavis, thank you so much for sharing that story.
Welcome.
That was just amazing. And so in the interest of time, I'm going to shift it over to Gail, because at the end, I want to be sure that we can tie everything together for our listening audience.
Okay. My name is Gail Heiser. I'm a professional. I'm a psychotherapist, and I've been in private practice since probably 1979. Prior to that, I was keeping residents in a family practice and a new program and doing counseling. So every summer, when my kids were young and growing up, I would go to the beach with them. And one of my favorite spiritual places is the beach, and I would go there and meditate and just kind of connect back to myself and to the world and the universe and God and so forth. And one time, maybe about 14, 15 years ago, I received this vision, and it was a vision of creating a holistic wellness center and a retreat center. And I mean, it was a very detailed vision that it was so overwhelming that when I got back home, I actually typed it all up and all the details and so forth. But I realized that I didn't have any money to create this, and probably if I started telling people about it, they'd probably think I was a bit delusional because I had no means of financially supporting this. So I just kind of kept it myself, but I kind of quietly tried to manifest it and tried by just picturing it and visualizing it and the feeling of gratitude for it being there, that it was already there in the present time. And about a few years later, and it took a few years, one person after another, about seven people that came to me, just unsolicited, and now just all of a sudden started talking to me about that they would love to be a part of a wellness center, and like a holistic wellness center. I was about the sixth or seventh person, especially the seventh person who happened to be a real estate developer. I mean, there are different paths of life. One was a massage therapist, and there was an educator, and there are different professions of these people that would just all of a sudden randomly come to me. And I said, well, I think I have something I need to show you, but I have a few other people that might be interested. And so that was the beginning of the nonprofit that I started called OMA Center for Mind, Body, and Spirit. We still don't have a center. We're actually more virtual. And so I don't have the money to build a center, but that may come in time. But we have started a program, and we're a nonprofit since 2014. And it has evolved, and it's been amazing. People that have come to help us, the people that supported us. The name OMA stands for Ohio, Monongahela, and Allegheny. And there are two rivers, Monongahela and Allegheny, that form at a point in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, that create the third river, the Ohio River. And many people believe that that's a very spiritual vortex, and something like that occurs naturally in history. So we chose the name OMA. It also means grandma in Swedish, but that's not what was our intention. There's also a fourth river that runs underneath those three rivers, which is also an unusual configuration for nature. So we call it OMA. We have virtual programs. One of the programs that we come from a variety of different backgrounds. And the first program that we really started was called Art in the Garden, which is a year-round program that supports youth and holding themselves and others in compassion and growing a connection to self, others, and the earth. And to support the journey, Art and Garden programs address the impacts of childhood, adversity, and trauma on health and learning. We use an intentionally trauma-informed, anti-racist, LGBTQA, plus welcoming, culturally responsive, joy-centered, and liberatory pedagogy in order to teach these children. The programming for the arts and ecology gives me tools to reduce stress and tired confidence and compassion and civic engagement. They deepen their self-awareness by identifying and really honoring their emotions, their thoughts, and their own values. So it's really been an incredible program that started. And a garden that is connected to a housing co-op in the east end of our city in Pittsburgh. has evolved. During the pandemic, the first year, we actually did a virtual program for the kids. And then this past year, they actually went back into the garden. And we had more kids that were wanting to enroll than what we had space. And so we're looking at seeing ways that we can either partner with another organization in the city or expand it in some way. The other program we do is a lecture series where we highlight holistic practitioners in the city, and we, because of virtual that we've been doing the last 2 years, we also can expand that beyond the city of Pittsburgh and to national speakers. We usually offer them free to the public. We ask for donations from the heart, and we've been able so far to sustain that program doing that. We haven't done this program for a while, but we offered one called Food for the Soul, and we will once we can go back live. It's an opportunity to share thoughts, ideas, and needs on each other's journeys in the realms of body, on body, mind, and spirit. And we provide soup and bread, and we give offer a topic to talk about in the table, and people can just begin to discuss that. So it was a pretty empowering experience for most people that came to that, and hopefully we can resume that again once we can go back live. We also do workshops on the mind, body, and spirit from practitioners both locally and nationally. In fact, we meet it. Did one of ours for last year called Letting Change from Within, Journey Towards Anti-Racism, a mastermind group. And that's how some of this all got started. And we also do a trauma-informed training education for educators and for parents and community members, where we try to help them understand how trauma can affect all of us, and especially children and youth growing up. And it becomes a bridge designed to connect them with professionals across generations and the healthcare spectrum. They usually gain understanding of social, emotional, mental, and behavioral health issues, and they learn a lot of skills that they can use to help their youth. The other program we just started about a year ago is called You Are Not Alone. It's a monthly online seminar, and we offer, it's a panel discussion or conversation. It's under our trauma programs. And it's designed for sharing the stories around our very diverse life experiences and exploring the connections among us all. You know, we all carry a heavy weight often of trauma in today's terminology. We all at the same time struggle to meet our basic human needs for connection and community, acceptance and validation. And also, I think we seek authenticity, the capacity to feel what we feel and be in touch with our bodies and to express what we feel when we need to. I think most people don't realize that they've actually experienced trauma, and these are a variety of different traumas. There's something called ACEs, Adult Adverse Childhood Experiences, which also are under the larger category of trauma. And so what's happened, we've done this once a month, and I think it's been a very informative and helpful process for people. It's done as a webinar, so people can join in the webinar with anonymously, so nobody can actually see your picture as compared to a Zoom meeting. And if they want to, they can ask questions like in the chat room, or they can actually unmute themselves. So those are some of the programs that we offer, and hopefully in time, maybe we'll get a center, or maybe not. I want to talk a little bit about synchronicity before I run out of some time. Synchronicity is a phenomenon which people interpret two separate and seemingly unrelated experiences as being meaningful, intertwined, even though there's no evidence that one may lead to another. I want to share how I've met Anita. And through Anita, I met Mavis. But Anita actually first met a board member of ours, Deb Carter, who is a reflexologist and was also driving Uber. And Anita got in her car, and Deb is an incredibly spiritual being and just a light being. And they started having this conversation, and Deb started sharing about OMA and invited Anita to one of our lectures. And Anita walked in the first time I think I saw you. I just could sense this amazing light within you and this energy that I was so, I'm still so grateful to have been able to know you. And that was the beginning of my connection with Anita. And from there, it has just grown and blossomed. And so I think that I am more and more aware of manifesting. I'm more and more aware of the synchronicity that happens for all of us. And I'm very grateful to be part of this mastermind group. And thank you.
Excellent, excellent. And that is perfect timing. So we're going to take a quick break at this point. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you my part of the story. And both Mavis and Gail already have alluded to some of the connections that we have to one another. So we'll finish that story out. And, yep, there you have it. Break time.
You're broken down, now you're tired. So living life on the merry-go-round. And you can't find a fighter. But I see it in you.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to the Boss Up Babe radio show, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com. Parenting isn't about perfection. I think we all know that. Parenting is about being present and honest, having compassion for your child and for yourself, communicating consciously and loving unconditionally. Tune in to the Awakened Parent Project with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday at noon Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to be an empowered parent through the techniques of the Conscious Parenting Community. To learn more about Susan, visit SusanDolce.com.
It takes courage to step into your calling and go for your dream. Sabotage monsters can get in your way, preventing you from reaching your potential. You can choose to struggle alone, or you can choose community and support, someone to walk beside you, meeting you where you are. If you are ready to make real and lasting change, Coach Christine Clark is here for you. Find out more about one-on-one coaching and group programs with Coach Christine at sunglowtransformation.com.
Ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dreams that set your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes. So live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
On the merry-go-round, you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Ooh, Monday, we gon' walk it out.
So welcome back. You just heard two incredible stories, first from Mavis and her work in Rwanda, and then we heard from Gail and her work through the holistic education and mind, body, spirit, and all of that. So I'm going to actually give you the backstory to the backstory, because there's like another piece of this that that is really related to my own journey, which I want to share at this point. So the way that I met Mavis was on a trip to South Africa. Now, when she talks about Rwanda, I actually did a trip with her to Rwanda, but I need to start with the South Africa story first, because that's where she and I actually met. And one of the things that I absolutely love about Mavis is her realness and her I know we use this word authenticity a lot, but Mavis just really, really embodies that. And I picked that up the moment I left her. So a little bit of the backstory. I was working at, I was still in corporate America. If you know my story, you know I left corporate America in 2013. However, in 2008, I was still leading the African American Affinity Group. At least that's the name of it at that time, was what we affectionately call the Triple AG. And I got a phone call from the foundation of the company that I was working for, and they actually, it was Bristol Myers to work for them, and they were doing a the company from the foundation perspective had been doing a lot of work in the area of HIV, and had launched a program called Secure the Future. And I got a phone call because they had decided that they wanted to take the model that they created for Secure the Future in the HIV space and apply it to breast cancer. And so it was really, it was kind of designed as a train-the-trainer kind of program. And so we were being asked, we meaning the African American Affinity Group, were being invited to participate in literally going to South Africa and launching a breast cancer awareness program. In we were in the KwaZulu-Natal region of South Africa, and which is about a four-hour ride outside of Johannesburg. So we flew into Johannesburg and then got in a Jeep and drove for 4 hours into the rural, more rural areas. So when I got the call from the company, I was extremely excited, of course, and, you know, took the information back to the leadership of the AAAG, which also included our executive sponsor at that time, and just literally started working out a plan. We had to develop the training on our own. We had to do research to kind of get a sense of what does breast cancer awareness, education look like in an environment outside of the United States. So it was a lot of educating that we had to do on our own in order to get to a space where we could comfortably have this conversation in another country, in another culture, and that sort of thing. So we put everything together, had lots of different conversations about how we're going to do it logistically. How are we going to fly? Are we going to fly? Are we going to use a corporate jet? Are we going to use this? Are we going to use that? So it was just all of this flurry of conversation, because that conversation was driven by excitement at being able to do something at this level. So we got everything together, got the plan together. The day that we were leaving to go to South Africa was the first time that I ever met Mavis. Now, the way that she got connected to us, I mentioned we had an executive sponsor behind this project that we were doing. And one of the things that he sort of gave us carte blanche for was to hire her, because in his mind, he felt like this is incredible work coming out of the research and development organization at the Bristol Myers Squibb, as well as coming out of the foundation. And so he gave us funding to be able to hire a photographer, and it just so happened. See, this is how these things just kind of happen. It just so happened that there was another member on the leadership team who knew Mavis. Mavis is a photographer. So you put two and two together, and next thing you know, we got this extra person coming on our team by the name of Mavis Bauman, incredible photographer. That's how we met. And going on that, what was it, like 14-hour flight to South Africa, 18-hour flight to South Africa, our friendship was solidified. So by the time we landed, you would have thought we were had been best friends for years. But I say all of that to say that that is the type of person that I recognized in Mavis, a very genuine, down-to-earth kind of person. Excuse me, that was 2008 when we went to South Africa. So now our friendship has grown. Our friendship is continuing. And by the way, let me just backtrack a little bit, because that program was extremely successful.
Yeah.
In a space of about a week or so, we went from village to village to village, delivering and teaching people how to do self breast examination It was amazing. And we started, we worked with traditional healers and just all of these different people in the community that was related to health or healthcare workers, volunteers, and all of that. It was just a beautiful experience. And that's how I met Mavis. I also learned something about myself in preparing myself to go to South Africa. I had never been on the continent before in my life, so this was a big deal for me. And I felt like I needed to do, I'm going to use the word cleansing in a way, because there were some things inside of me that I wanted to make sure were not there. Because the truth of the matter is I live in America. America is a racialized society, and I did not want to take any bias, prejudice, or anything like that with me when I go into South Africa, because my thing was I'm going into their life experience. I'm going into their country. I'm going into their language. I'm going into their culture. And at the very least, I need to respect all of that, to respect and honor all of that. So I literally spent a month before we went praying every day that God will remove anything inside of me that could come off in a way that I'm judging, I'm criticizing, or anything like that. And I had one moment in South Africa. It was like my moment of thankfulness where I just stood there and I was surrounded by all these people. We were at a clinic. There were babies there. There were young children there. There were teens there. There were adults there. And we were there and we were helping them. And it was just an amazing experience for me. So let's move to 2011. So now I'm learning more about Mavis. In the course of that 2008 to 2011, our friendship really flourished. I'm learning more and more about her. And so she starts telling me about Rwanda. Next thing I know, I'm getting on a plane with Mavis, and we're flying to Rwanda. And it was, again, just an incredibly beautiful experience. It helped me as a person. And the young lady that Mavis mentioned, Martha, with the problem with her leg, I was asked to pray for her and pray for her healing. And that was an incredible moment for me, because that was a way for me to touch this young woman and to really connect with her. That had nothing to do with me being American or nothing to do with her being Rwandan. It was two human beings coming together, and I was asked to provide some support for her, and I was able to walk in that space and do that. I got to meet Deborah, who Mavis spoke about. Every time I think about that experience, I almost get moved to tears, because it changed me. It helped me to be a better human being. It helped me to really, really communicate and connect to people who are different from myself. So now I'm going to bring the conversation into meeting Gail. I know that's a little bit abrupt, but I want to make sure that we get all the pieces in before we run out of time. And so back in 2017, I lost my mom, and prior to me losing to my mom, I came to Pittsburgh because my mom was sick. My mom was suffering from a stage 4 metastasized breast cancer, and so when I got here, I basically dropped everything in my life. I was still living in New Jersey. I just dropped everything to come here and be with my mom, and at that time, I was writing a book. And the name of that book is I Want to See Lainey's House. And that book was sort of my story, my journey through life and all that sort of thing. But I used to go to the library a lot because I loved writing in the library. When I lived in New Jersey, I used to get on the train and go to New York and just spend time writing in the library. So when I found myself in Pittsburgh, I needed to find, like, some good libraries that I could go and hang out in. And one particular library is a library in a section of a section of Pittsburgh that's called Homewood. And so I needed an Uber car because I didn't have a car with me at the time. I needed a car, so I called for a car. Woman, and this woman like that became my friend. As a matter of fact, when we got to Homewood Library, she turned her Uber thing off, and we just sat there and talked, probably for about 15 minutes or so. And that's how she introduced me to OMA. And that's how I ended up getting connected to OMA. And I can remember very vividly the first time that I walked into an OMA lecture. And I've shared this with Gail. When I walked in, I was the only black person in the group of maybe about 40 white people, mostly women. But I did not feel like I was the only black person there. What I felt like was that I was a person who was there. And I was simply accepted by, particularly the leadership, although at the time I didn't know who the leaders were, but eventually I got to know them because I was invited to be a member of the board. And it was just an incredible experience. And the whole entire idea of why I wanted to use this approach with our Dr. Pat episode is to really drive home a couple of points. Number one, action. That's what brought the three of us together. We got Mavis over here being driven by her vision, her purpose, and her action in her own life. Then we have Gail driven by the same factors, vision, purpose, and action in her life. And then you have me driven by the same thing. That's why I ended up in South Africa. That's how I ended up in Rwanda. That's how I ended up now in Pittsburgh, because I knew in each one of those steps were meaningful. Those steps were not accidental. Those steps were real. And when I look back today in 2021 and I look back, I can see the stepping stones. It's like when you're in a garden and you know how sometimes people will have those stones along this path of these stones. That's what the three of us, our lives have been like. Mm-hmm. We all had our individual paths, but then those paths began to converge. And what you see now is the convergence of those three lives, three different paths of vision, purpose, and action. And then the other thing that it really drives home, and this kind of relates to our Inflection Point podcast, which I mentioned earlier, and you heard Mavis and maybe even Gail mention this idea of this anti-racism mastermind group. That's what we are. The three of us have come together around this issue of racism in the United States and beyond, quite frankly. It's just the whole concept of racism. And so out of all three of us kind of being connected, we kind of birthed this brave space. This is how we define Inflection Point Podcast. It's a brave space for conversation. I'm sorry. It's a brave space that requires courage. It requires conversation. It requires relationship. And it requires accountability. In order for us to be able to have those difficult types of conversations, there has to be a process there. And that's the process that we created. And in the process of us creating that, we model exactly what that conversation needs to look like in order for us to be able to move forward. The same way when I was in Rwanda and I was asked to pray over that young lady, her name is Martha, that was the bringing together of her life connected to my life. But the thing that held us together at that point, it wasn't vision, purpose, and action necessarily. It was faith. It was our faith. And it was my faith in a God that I can pray to on behalf of someone that I literally just met, you know, on that particular trip. And again, just saying all of this to say, we are in a place right now, America, where connecting to one another is going to be the thing that saves this country. Mm-hmm. Because we cannot continue the way that we are with all of this division and strife and anger and violence and misunderstandings. We won't survive if we keep this up. Yeah. And so our whole entire point, Mavis, Gail, and I, is to make that conversation real, to make people begin to really, really see the place that we're in and how each of us has a role that we can play. You might have to kind of take some time out to figure out what that role is, but each of us has a role to play. And each of us has to make a decision. Do I want to stand on this platform or do I want to stand on this platform? And whatever platform you decide to stand on is going to have an impact on us as a nation. So I just wanted to say all of that. So Mavis, Gail, any comments on any of the things that I shared?
You just get me excited all over again, Anita. It's really an amazing series of events. I just want to add that Martha is walking tall and strong to this day. Her leg is completely healed. Since that treatment in even in 11, she was still healing up, wasn't she, 2011?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She is completely healed and does not have any more trouble with that leg. And who knows what she'll do, you know? Who knows what she'll do? A lot of the survivors were not parented. So when people like us have the honor of coming into their lives, we can affect those lives, just like we can affect the lives of anybody who's next door or a little further. Yeah, and I just find that so positive and hopeful and possible.
I'm glad
you hired me, Anita, for the Ezra Club thing.
Yes.
I just want to say that, you know, we all are collectively from the same humanity, and what will destroy us is not remembering that, right? And the greatest source of grief and sadness is the disconnection that we feel from with others and that we mostly don't feel from with ourselves. When we reconnect to ourselves in truth, we then connect to all truth, and that's what this is all about, right?
That's exactly what this is all about. It's about acknowledging truth, but it's also about reconciliation. It's about healing.
Right.
Because, again, we are at that inflection point where we have to decide as a nation, are we going to move forward with something that is equitable for every citizen in this country? Or are we going to stay the course of what we've been experiencing for hundreds of years? And we can look through the lens of that history and see that it doesn't work.
Right.
It doesn't work.
Well, it's not based in accuracy or truth, or it's not based in any of that, and it must be based in truth.
Right, exactly. So we are continuing with our conversations and all that, and just wanting our audience to grow. Again, the fact that we are on the Dr. Pat Show is such an incredible honor. When I got the call from one of the people that work with the organization, and we were invited to be to do a show on in her absence and everything. And I was just like, oh, my gosh, of course. So, again, it's just an opportunity to get a broader message out there. The work that Transformation Talk Radio does, the Dr. Pat Show, and all of that is just pretty incredible. Like, I've had the opportunity to kind of go in and listen to some of the other shows and some of the other hosts and things like that. And the title, Transformation, relates so directly to what we're all about, that personal transformation, cultivating change. And I think the biggest thing that kind of brings it together for me, particularly as I look at it through a life coaching lens, is this issue of accountability. You've probably heard me say that freedom isn't free. Freedom is not an absolute. That freedom is directly and intimately connected to responsibility and accountability. And I think as we, yeah, as we start to continue to have these conversations, that those things need to be in the forefront, that freedom is not free, it's not an absolute, and it has to be managed through that lens of personal accountability and responsibility. Otherwise, we just continue in the chaos. And I know personally, I don't want to be in the chaos. I don't want my little grandson, Cairo. You've heard us talk about Cairo. I don't want him growing up in the chaos. So it's up to us to ensure that he does not. So we got about 5 more minutes. And Mavis, Gail, if you can call out your websites again so we can get some folks over to visit to see the incredible, incredible work that you all are doing. Real fast.
Real fast. 3 minutes now. I just wanted to add one little thing, and it sounds funny, but to quote the Beatles, all you need is love. Love is at the base of all this. It sounds so ethereal and overused, but once you have love, you have motivation, you have resources, you have time, you can connect. And so just look for those opportunities to extend that love to anyone who's near or far. So I'll just finish up with my website again, seedabetterlife.org. I talk funny. As I say, I'm from Nebraska. But you'll see some stories about what's happened with our students. It's just been the best thing in my life, most gratifying service ever. So thank you.
Okay, go for it, Gail.
All right. It's
got 1 minute.
Our website is www.omapittsburgh.org, and we have a list of different programs and all the activities that we're doing. So feel free to go and check it out. And thank you.
Excellent, excellent. And you can always go and check out The Place to Soar. That is my company. I do life coaching. I'm a podcaster, as you can see, speaker and an author. And you can find out everything that I do at theplacetosoar.com. So I think we are officially out of time at this point, and I want to thank the audience for joining us, and I hope we did a good job of sitting in for Dr. Pat, and we shall see you on the flip side.
On this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good snowy Wednesday morning to you. Others here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the sound. Well, good thing, folks, not too much traffic going on out there in the roadways. Many of you are staying home, and, of course, it's the holiday week, so less traffic already out there. Good thing, because the roads are still kind of slick. Snow showers on and off throughout the day today, so just bring those speeds down. Give yourself a little more room to the vehicles in front of you and more time to schedule today. I'd put that in there.
NBC
ABC News Radio, I'm Chris Garagio. Flight cancellations and delays at airports are topping 3,000 today ahead of the holiday weekend. Those planning to leave or go to Seattle are having the most problems. About 30% of flights originating from Seattle-Tacoma International Airport have been canceled, and the same figure applies to flights going to Seattle. Students in Washington, D.C. will need to show proof of a negative COVID-19 test next week or get turned away for classes. Democratic Mayor Muriel Bowser is sending a plea to parents for them to do their part as administrators have been working to coordinate test pickup periods.
Please, families, don't also ask them to do what could have been done on Tuesday.
D.C. is offering families free rapid antigen tests to comply with the requirement. New York continues to break records in the number of daily COVID cases as the contagious Omicron variant rages on. At least 74,000 new cases have been reported, setting a record for a second consecutive day. State Health Commissioner Dr. Mary Bassett tells CNN that hospitalizations are going up, but hospital bed capacity is stable. She said they continue to be in close contact with the National Guard on whether they'll need to be brought in to help cover staffing shortages brought on by the surge. President Biden will be taking part in his second phone call this month with the leader of Russia today. They'll discuss the tense situation at the border with Ukraine, where Vladimir Putin maintains a buildup of troops for a possible invasion. A White House official describes it as a moment of crisis and says the goal is to find a path of de-escalation. Unemployment claims are significantly down from a year ago, which President Biden calls historic progress. He tweeted 823,000 Americans applied for jobless benefits this time last year. Today, the Labor Department said 198,000 Americans filed initial jobless claims last week. Holiday shoppers got into the spirit of spending this holiday season. According to a study from LendingTree, more than a third of consumers spent more than they could afford. They also found the average American owes more than $1,200 after the holidays. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
I'm Danny Schaefer, lifestyle content creator. My little brother had these piercing blue eyes like the ocean. He was just 33 when we lost him.
My name is Darren Waller. I had it made, living my dreams, playing professional football. Then my life hit rock bottom. I had an accidental opioid overdose.
If you know someone taking opioids, have a safety plan and talk about it.
It can happen to anyone you know or love. It happened to me.
Be prepared. Learn how at reversesilence.org.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for Alternative Talk weather outlook for Thursday. Light snow showers turning to more snow later on this afternoon. High temperatures just above freezing, around 33, 34 in selected areas. For tonight, snow showers will hang around. Low temperatures dropping down to about 28. For Friday, mostly sunny skies with a break from the snow. High temperatures around 31 with mostly cloudy skies for New Year's Eve evening. Low temperatures down to about 24. For Saturday and New Year's Day, mixed rain and snow showers. High temperatures around 40.
Happy New Year from the Jupiter Rising Show. This is Eileen Grimes, your host, and we are excited to welcome back our very special New Year's guest, Mr. Matt Shea. We will have all sorts of fun, and Matt, as usual, will entertain us with some wonderful, heartwarming stories to start the new year right. So don't forget the Jupiter Rising Show right here on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KKNW Alternative Talk 1150.
Want to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Let us help you produce a professionally sounding radio show or podcast. Learn more at 1150kknw.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local. The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Personal Wisdom Show with me, Rita Johnson, and Dr. Pat. Are you curious to learn about your soul-level purpose? Do you want to explore how you can move forward in your life in a way that's more in line with your purpose and values? Have you ever been told to just ignore that little voice inside? Then you are already aware of your knowing. This show is an opportunity to hear my story of uncovering my personal wisdom and to learn to do it for yourself. Be fearless in trusting your body, intuition, and inner knowing. Get ready to step into your wisdom and bring forward your authenticity. The Personal Wisdom Show starts now. Welcome, everyone. My name is Mita Johnson, and I am so delighted that you are joining us here today on the Personal Wisdom Show. It's always fun to be here when it's slightly unexpected, and we got invited to do a special New Year's presentation. And joining me today is my friend Mary Zahorsky. Mary is a dear friend and a colleague, someone who I believe I share many passions with. We have a love of travel, a love of helping people, being coaches, and connecting with wisdom. And I've invited Mary today to share some of her wisdom with you, as well as explore this topic of what does it mean to manifest or to grow into the best self that you want. Mary comes at this with a really phenomenal background. She really focuses her work on helping individuals and teams navigate through a whole person conversation and connection. She helps you align with your spiritual and your physical self and really brings the most out of your humanness and your human being. She comes to that space with a number of credentials. She has her ACC through the ICF, that's the International Coaching Federation. She's a certified safety director and has spent many years working in the transportation industry. She's also a positive intelligence coach and also certified success coach like me. So I'm excited to have Mary join us today. Mary, welcome to our show.
Hi, thanks, Nita. That was really nice for you to say all of those things. I'm really excited to be here today.
Awesome. We wanted to talk today about kind of our take from a wisdom standpoint and being the mature, wise wisdom women that we claim ourselves to be on really the difference from New Year's resolutions, which everybody talks about this time of the year. And at least in my experience and observation, most of us fail miserably at. We set all of these things. We think it's a good idea. We're really, really motivated in January. And if you're one of the lucky few, you're still kind of working on them when it gets to February. So for me, I encountered the language shift in my journey from New Year's resolutions to making committed choices. And those, for me, are the things that I promise to do for me. And there's a bit of a different way of thinking about it and getting into it. And when you and I were talking, you were using the word manifestation. And that's sometimes a loaded word for people. Would you mind sharing with us really what manifestation means to you?
Yeah. For me, when I think about my choices, I am putting into words what I want to have happen. And how am I going to be making that, creating that, and having all of the things I want have happen? I do that through intention and manifestation. And I truly believe that when you put intention behind a manifestation, it's going to move you into action to go toward the things that you want and mm-hmm. not back away from that in fear or, with your judge or anything like that. So that's what I mean by it. It just is a word that has power and strength behind it to move you toward something.
You used a word that really captured me, and that was the word intention.
Mm-hmm.
And what brought forth for me is intention is something that we choose to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have an intention and we pay attention,
mm-hmm.
then things happen. And I think everybody's heard the saying, what you pay attention to is what gets measured or monitored, if you want to use the corporate language. But we're really talking about the same thing in our personal life. If we bring something into that focus or an intention to do something, we then have to choose to pay attention to it and actually do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes people think manifestation just means, oh, I think about this and it's magically going to appear. But that's not my experience. Is it yours?
No, it is not mine either. No. I do have friends and colleagues that have more of a knowing, they say. It's a knowing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's for things that are going to happen. But that's not really manifesting. That just sort of, things just sort of come to them and they just kind of know that something is about to happen. Manifesting for me is a doing. It's not really a being.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you talk a lot about the differences between being the human doing and the human being. So, coming up with manifestation is the idea of what you want.
You know, some of the things that you hear out there in the common culture right now when you start to enter into the words manifestation is along the lines of law of attraction. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, the prosperity gospels and all of this stuff in pop culture out there. And for me, we're talking about something that's fundamentally different than law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
My take on it is that's something that, again, if you think it, it's just going to magically appear. And we're talking about human doings. What are we going to do as a human being to bring this forward into our life this next year? And obviously, I want to attract what's positive and what's good and what's useful. And I think mindset's really one of the ways that we get there. What experiences do you have with mindset in terms of law of attraction?
You know, boy, that takes me back. You know, I followed the law of attraction back in the 80s, I think, when it first came out, that, you know, the movie and the book and everything. And I really, I tried. And I think they use the word manifesting a lot in there. But for me, that didn't really, nothing really would happen. But, you know, I think that your mindset, when you put your mind to something, you're going to take action and you're going to manifest what has happened, what it is that you want, that you're thinking about, right? You're going to attract that to you because of the things that you're doing.
Mm-hmm. So why are we talking about this today? I mean, it's New Year's. Why is New Year's the time? Why do we do this to ourselves? Why now? Why does it matter to set these intentions at the point in time when the earth is at its darkest and, you know, we're kind of buried? I know where you and I live, we just got dumped on with snow yesterday. So it's kind of that, you know, introspective time of the year. So why now? Why does it matter?
I know for me, it's a time where because it's so cold and it's winter and it's dark, you know, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, like, come on. I know for me, I take it as a time to really reflect on where I have been and where I want to go. So, you know, I would say half of December and then probably most of January, I use the tools that I have to decide how I want to design my life for the next year. And how I do it is I do it in chunks of quarterly. I do it quarterly so that, you know, and then I work those quarters down into months. So it's just kind of a tool that I use to design what I want in my life and what do I want to have happen and how am I going to get there.
Yeah, I don't use the quarterly method, but I like the calm of this time of the year with the dark and the peace. And there's something magical about a brand new calendar. You know, that fresh, clean slate, that chance to start over again, to think about it in a new way. So for me, New Year's resolutions come from that brand new calendar starting point that happens to be in that quiet space that lives in our life right now.
That reminds me of the first snowfall and that peaceful, quiet snowfall that falls, you know, like a snow globe for anybody not living in the North Country. You know, it's very quiet and peaceful and fresh and, like you said, starting over. And you have the chance to change your mindset. You have the chance to, you know, reignite your life and do something different.
Mm-hmm. You just used a phrase that reignite your mindset. You know, that takes me to what is it that we believe? Because a mindset is typically founded in a belief. And we're going to go to break here in just a minute. When we come back from break, I'd like to dive a little bit into what our beliefs, kind of the powers that they hold over us, and how that might connect to what we're talking about in terms of setting intentions and manifesting the positive and the good that we want in the life that's coming forward. For those of you who are listening, if you would like to learn more about my friend Mary Zahorsky, you can find her at thevisioncoaching.com. She has web page she's working to build and expand on, but it tells you a little bit about her and how to find her if you're curious to see what it would be like to spend some time with Mary as part of your life, perhaps as a coach or advisor or a connector. So, Mary, what would you like to add about yourself for our audience as we get ready to go to break?
Well, I guess, you know, I work with your visions. Obviously, my name is, you know, starts with a Z. My last name starts with a Z. And I work with vision and I work with value. Over the years, I've learned about people and their values and helping them to discover their values and bring them out. Helps them to do that manifesting and set those intentions that coincide with their values. So that's kind of the work that I do, and bringing those visions that they want to align with their values.
Lovely. You're listening to Mita Johnson at the Personal Wisdom Show, and we'll be with you right after our break.
Are you ready to find out who you really are? Are you ready to have fun and listen to the soul part of yourself? Indulge in a deeper meaning with Laura Goldstein, host of Coffee with the Universe. This show will awaken that true self hidden deep within you and will get you energized on who you were created to be. So go ahead, grab your cup of joe and experience Coffee with the Universe with Laura Goldstein on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
So how do you value your self-worth? Join Dr. Pat and Sabrina Wright as they introduce Sabrina's holistic approach to self-care and inner peace. Get empowered to make decisions for yourself. Change your view of your own values and learn the tools for investing in who you're designed to be. Live the good life every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on The Dr. Pat Show featuring Sabrina Wright. To learn more, visit SabrinaIsWRIGHT.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Mita Johnson with the Personal Wisdom Show. With me today on our special New Year's episode is my friend and colleague, Mary Zahorsky. And we've been talking today about the transformation for us of New Year's resolutions from a resolution to a commitment to the manifestation. Man, I can almost talk today. It feels like a Monday. So for me, New Year's resolutions aren't the right way to think about the world. To me, it's about making commitments to myself about what I want to bring forward. And Mary shared with us kind of her thoughts around manifestation and what she brings. And just before the break, we were talking about intention and attention and mindset. And that really led me to think about what is a mindset and why does it matter? So For me, a mindset is a belief. And every one of us has a set of beliefs, whether they're conscious or unconscious. And in some of the work that I do, I partner with my clients around really honing in to know what those beliefs are so that they can make a conscious choice about whether they want to continue to be in that space of belief or whether they want to shift or alter it. So one of the things that I got intrigued about as I was thinking about our time here today was, how did that power of what you believe impact and affect what you choose to commit yourself to, what you choose to manifest into your life, and what your success rates? So Mary, do you have any thoughts on how beliefs fit into that with the work that you do with your clients?
Boy, that brings me to think about purpose. And I know that you do a lot of purpose work, and you know, both of our practices are, the foundation of it is purpose. And, beliefs, I believe, come from your purpose, and whatever that purpose is helps to form the beliefs that you have and keep you within that purpose. And, of course, I really think a lot about values. So, my beliefs are born from my values as well as my purpose.
And I think that's a really great connection for people to think about. If they don't know what their purpose is and they don't know what their values, or if they've not taken the time to put the language to them, maybe they have that inner knowing, that wisdom that's there. But language is so powerful around what we're talking about today. Even back where we started, using the spoken word to say, what is my commitment for the year? What is it that I want to manifest? When you can speak about what your beliefs are and your purpose and your values, I think it reinforces those. So many of the people that I work with have really ingrained beliefs that often come out of childhood, and they often get in their way. People's beliefs tend to show up as the negative. So as you think about creating the transformation for yourself in a new year, one of the really powerful things that I like people to think about is, what am I actually believing about what I'm wanting to do? You know, the classic one is, I want to lose 10 pounds. Okay, well, you can lose it and gain it back again 59 times. So what is it that you really are trying to get to? Do you really believe that you can do this? Do you really think that you can? Or are you getting in your own way? And when you can get to the source of that belief and frame it in a positive way, I think it goes a long way towards bringing that manifestation and that positive outcome into your life. Mary, what beliefs have you encountered with yourself or your clients that kind of sometimes get in the way of this manifestation and goals?
Well, the I am not enough. I really don't think I'm capable of doing things like that. Or, I can't afford it. That's a big one. I can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
Those things get in the way. You were talking about a minute ago about the values of people. And I think that, your beliefs come from your values and, or I should say your positive beliefs come from your values, right? And I think those are, we don't think about those often enough. We don't think about them. Our lives get so busy during the year, during the season, children, grandchildren, jobs, everything happening, that we don't even stop to think about our values. So, mm-hmm. Getting your beliefs from your values, I think, is an important aspect to think about as we move through life.
Mm-hmm.
Having those beliefs from your values helps.
If we were in the business of giving advice, and not Dear Abby or Ann Landers or any of the others that are out there as we date ourselves with some of those names, but one of the things that I would really invite our listeners to think about is, if you haven't started yet crafting what you want in the new year, you touched on something that might be a really, really awesome place to start, and that is, can you name your values? And can you support, you know, what are the positive beliefs that are out there? And then go to kind of the shadow side of that as well. You know, what's the negative? What are the beliefs out there that really aren't serving you and that don't bring you what you're looking for to create this year of 2022 that you want to be different than where you are at the end of 2021? So something to think about out there is that how can we reframe those negatives into a positive? And, you know, you said the common one, I'm not enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy to drop the word not.
Mm-hmm.
I am enough. But how do you become and how do you start to believe that? You know, it's a powerful, powerful question. That how do I change that belief?
Mm-hmm. Well, I use a tool that somebody taught me years ago, the tool of powerful questions, along with, you talked about the spoken word and seeking your what you want to have happen and your beliefs in life. I truly believe in writing them down because for me, when you put your pen to paper, you feel it. You don't just say it. You don't just hear it. But when you put a pen to paper and you write it, you see it, you hear it, and you feel it with your hand. So feeling it is an important aspect for me to finding all of that. And I write powerful questions. I talk about powerful questions with my clients. And every day I write down powerful questions. So I know you're going to ask me what are powerful questions and what's an example of a powerful question. I have a couple here because when I write powerful questions, I really have to think about them. It takes me a minute. So I do have some that I have here that I use quite often. One of them is, how can I be in a state of allowing today? And a powerful question is positively posed, and you don't answer it. So you just put the question there, and you just leave it. And as you leave it, you're going to think that throughout the day. Okay? You can think about, what is the next level for me? What am I going to do next?
So you touched on something that makes complete sense because in my experience of personal wisdom, I hear it and I also feel it. And like you, there are many things that I say and then I need to write because it does do that full intention. I've never practiced the asking of and writing of a powerful question.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm curious about is, how do you not answer it? I mean, you talk about letting it linger, but how do you not start answering it in your head or filling in the blank? How do you just let it be?
I believe that in the act of writing it, it is the intention that fuels the manifestation of things actually happening.
So you don't, if you go back and share again the powerful question that you just did, please.
Okay, I'll give you a different one that might work. So, how am I going to help someone today?
Okay, so my head, because I'm, you know, an Enneagram 1 perfectionist, do this, I'm going to start answering and making a list. So, to me, the act of letting it go at the point of writing it will be a really interesting way to really think about how the power of letting the question simply linger.
Letting it go. Because how am I going to help somebody today? Just putting that out there is going to then make my mind like you. You're letting it go on the paper. You're letting it go for the moment. But your mind is going to be thinking, how am I going to help somebody today? You're going to be thinking that throughout the day, unconsciously, possibly. Every once in a while, it might come in, you know, consciously, and you're going to say, oh, I am going to help this person today, or, you know, this animal, this dog, this cat, you know, how am I going to help someone today?
Awesome. So we are a about ready to go to break. And when we come back, Mary and I will continue to explore really the results of her powerful question, the release of just writing it. I'm curious to learn more about what happens when she reflects at the end of her day. So with that, Mary, can you tell them again quickly where they can find you?
Yes. I am in the process of creating my website, so you can find me and contact me through my website. It's at zvisioncoaching.com.
Very good. Join us after break for more discussion on manifestations and creating the 2022 of your dreams.
Taught you or your kids how to handle stress? That's right, no one. I'm combat veteran Deb Lewis, and I'm on a mission to change that. My new children's book, Why is Pono Not Pono Today, is set in Hawaii. Lovable characters, Pono the Bull and his friend Kuleana, show us how a stressful situation ends happily. Look closer to reveal powerful ways to handle all types of stress. Start loving your stress-filled life today. Go to mentallytoughwoman.com.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit BurnBrightToday.com.
Are you ready to experience full body system wellness? Tune in to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright, a spiritual toolbox for your life. Embrace the fullness of who you are as a spiritual being, having a human experience. Pam Bright is a multidimensional healer, light language channel, energy intuitive, and spiritual transformation coach. Join her for a rich conversation about how to unlock all your spiritual gifts. Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio.
Life can be demanding, but sometimes our wheels are spinning and we're too focused on making them turn to notice we're stuck in the mud. Tune into The Pause with me, Ellen Wyoming Deloy, every second and fourth Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Learn how to stop, reflect, and start moving forward with intention. And if you're really looking to jumpstart your personal development, schedule a free coaching consultation with me at ellenwyomingdeloy.com.
In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dream that sets your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Personal Wisdom Show with Mita Johnson. And today my guest is my friend, colleague, and partner in exploring wisdom, Mary Zahorsky. We've been talking today about the difference between New Year's resolutions and making committed choices for yourself and manifesting into the new year what's important to help you grow into your wisdom, your power, and to create the life that you want as you look forward. We've been a little bit all over the place today from talking about the power of our positive beliefs and the limitations of our negative beliefs. I've talked about the quiet of the season and the chance to be reflective. And just before this last break, we were talking about a tool that Mary uses quite extensively and that is new for me, but one I'm eager to spend some time exploring, and that's the whole concept of powerful questions. And Mary was sharing some of examples of those before break, and what really sat with me then is she has this awesome power to state her powerful question and to write it. So if you've been listening to her, if you follow me, you know that, you know, part of that human being is being in touch with your body wisdom, your personal wisdom, and knowing when it's right. And so her act of writing really reinforces that body wisdom. But she has the magical gift of actually being able to let something go. So I'm really curious to hear a little bit more about that process for her, because I don't possess that gift. So it's something I'm going to have to really think about. How do I just simply write it and walk away? So Mary, you said to me earlier that you just do it. So what does this do it feel like?
It just popped into my head, Mita, that maybe you need to hire a coach.
That's probably true.
Oh, boy. You know, I really, I can't remember, you know, when it actually started for me, but I am really able to let go. Letting go has not ever really been a problem for me. If I have something, I call them brain worms, worming around in my mind and it won't go away. You know, I guess I do things that busy me, maybe, make me busy so that I can get rid of whatever that is. But typically, especially with my powerful questions, it's the same with gratitude. I feel my gratitude. I write my gratitude every day. I've been doing that for about 15 years. And now I couple that with powerful questions because gratitude, although it's enough, the powerful questions, like I said in the previous segment, it gives me the intention that fuels the manifestation of doing something to come about what it is that I want.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So as I think about really the act of letting go, that really is in and of itself a form of that gratitude and that manifestation because there's a trust factor behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious as to what happens throughout your day. So I'm guessing that you start your day with your powerful question. That seems intuitive, mm-hmm. but perhaps it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So for our listeners who are curious and exploring this, kind of posing that powerful question in your mind, you say it out loud and you write it down. And you basically let it go,
mm-hmm.
trust whatever spiritual entity that you connect with or however that goes. What happens with that throughout your day? Does it come back present to you? Is it something that you notice? How do you know it's still in your awareness?
I think a lot of times it is in your unconscious mindset. You talked about mindset earlier. It is in your unconscious mindset. And you asked me about a process earlier. I'm sorry, I'm jumping backwards. You know, I will write something in my notebook, and then I close my book and put it aside. So maybe that alone allows me to let something go. It's a closure of something, and then let it go. Because I do that every day. I just thought about that when you were talking about that. Sorry, I jumped backwards.
Okay. What's great about a conversation, it goes where it needs to go.
And what did you ask me then after that? You asked me...
I'm curious about how your powerful question or the response to that question shows up throughout your day then. So you've literally closed the book on the conscious process.
Right.
But I think what we're really getting into here is the act of manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
So once you've created that question, you've closed the book on the intention and attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now the magic of the universe starts to happen. So how does that show up for you during the day?
Mm-hmm. It's a feeling. I pay attention to my heart a lot during the day. I, you know, as a human, you have to pay attention to your brain, and your thoughts. But I also pay attention to my heart and what my heart is telling me. So, you know, as I close that book and push it aside for the day, I am unconsciously aware of what I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And then throughout the day, you know, so how am I going to help someone today? Okay, that's a powerful question. Or what am I going to do to help someone today? When that need arises, boom, it sort of hits you in the face that, yes, I am going to do this. It's not something then that you can just pass over and push aside because you wrote that. Now it's appearing to you, so you're going to go and move forward with it.
So what you've really done is you've created that commitment to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
On a daily basis, you know, we were talking about commitments for the year, but mm-hmm. you've really broken it down into a microcosm. Mm-hmm. So I might be asking a powerful question for a year. How can I make 2022 as peaceful for my soul as possible? That feels like a really powerful question for me that I want to explore. But then go ahead.
I would tweak that just a little bit and say, what will it feel like when I achieve what I want in 2022? Not how will I get it, but how will it feel when I get it?
So if I'm looking for peaceful,
mm-hmm.
you're asking the how in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. So we think about setting your intention or your manifestation as a powerful question that perhaps is overarching, either for an annual or a quarter or a month, because you talked earlier about how you break it in segments. I tend to think big goals over the year, and then I break them down into littler steps. So your powerful questions on a daily basis really could be that stepping stone to that big manifestation that you're looking for throughout this year. So it's a really interesting way to think about that. Have you used the tool in that way before?
To, I guess, rephrase your question, what are you asking me? I use it on a daily basis, yes.
So do you use it as, when you think about the big goals, the big commitment, the big manifestation that you're setting for the year, do you think about that in terms of how you frame those daily powerful questions? Is there a direct connection for you, or are they kind of parallel experiences?
Well, some of my powerful questions are, you know, directly related to the big picture goal. You know, if I want to lose 10 pounds, that's a big picture goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, during the week or whatever, you know, during the month, if I'm going to lose 10 pounds in a quarter, I will think, you know, or I will write down, what is it going to feel like when I lose 10 pounds?
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So we are headed to break here in just a couple minutes. So I'd like to invite our listeners to really think about powerful questions and what they mean for them and how that fits in with your manifestations and creating your commitments to yourself for the year going forward. When we come back, I'd like to talk with Mary a little bit about how she processes the responses to those questions. And then we want to dive into some daily practices that she and I both use to really think about how we create and set those intentions, to leave you, our audience, with some ideas about how you might approach this as you look at 2022. Again, I'm talking with my friend and colleague, Mary Zahorsky. You can find her at thevisioncoaching.com, and we'll be with you shortly.
Life stressful and unfulfilling? Would you like to make changes, but you don't know how? Hi, I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show. I'd like to recommend The Necktie and the Jaguar by Carl Greer. This is a memoir with questions to help you change your story and live a life that's more pleasing to you. For more information or to purchase this fabulous book, please go to TransformationTalkRadio.com or go to CarlGreer.com.
When trauma is stored in the body, it can subconsciously affect and determine our life experience. Learn how the mind connects with the body and how you can pursue your own healing and growth so that your light shines brighter than ever. On the Law of Attraction Traction with host, my mom, Green Bear Hill, every third Tuesday of the month at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Karine and her services as a holistic heart-centered counselor, visit KarineBearfield.com.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack, and yes, our office is open, and we are doing strictly phone consultations. If you would like to call and get tuned up, it's a perfect time with everything that's going on and things are calming down. Pick up the phone and give us a call. And easy and it's fun. If you'd like more information on it, you can look at MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
Looking for the next Can't Put It Down book? Pick up Unapologetically Favored by Courtney Cottrell, 21-year active duty master chief with the U.S. Navy and motivational speaker. See this beautiful coming-of-age story unfold through the eyes of a true leader. A testimony of tenacity, faith, and self-love that will have you embarking on your own path of self-discovery. Visit unapologeticallyfavored.com to learn more about Courtney and her work.
How many times do you find yourself saying, it was nothing, or just doing my job, when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you, great job, you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, CourageToBeSeen.com. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Personal Wisdom Show with Nita Johnson and my guest, Mary Zahorsky. We've been talking about manifestation and making commitments to yourself as we look to enter this new year of 2022. And just before the break, we were exploring the practice of powerful questions. And Mary was sharing her processes as to how she creates her questions and releases them. And in my curious little, you know, controlling brain that I have, I was starting to explore how I put process to it because I'm a process person, and Mary's smiling at me because she has different processes and they look differently. So in the bit of time we have left, I think it might be useful to talk about how we kind of close out that manifestation or that powerful question process and then do just a quick kind of summation of some tools or tips or tricks that our listeners might want to use as they think about bringing powerful questions forward. For me, when I've been in that space of creating and manifesting, I speak it open and I speak it closed. It's something that I express gratitude for or acknowledgement and amen. There's a verbal way that I kind of end when I know I've reached that state or that ideal. And Mary, you have a bit of a different approach. Can you share with us what you do when you reach that kind of culmination point?
Well, on a daily basis, I kind of close this way. If you ever see me do that, I'm closing something right there. I will go like this. That will close something for me. So it's more of a action
mm-hmm. visual action than it is a verbal mm-hmm. closing. You know, I do gratitude every day, but it's not really to close something like that.
So why is that closure aspect important?
I think so it doesn't linger. So you are able to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like me closing my notebook every morning, it's the same. It's the same thing. It's that visual action of closure.
Mm-hmm. And I would absolutely agree with that. What begins needs to have an ending in my mind. There's kind of that natural arc of how things do. And so as you think about what you're manifesting in the year, what you're calling to yourself or creating, it's really important to have a conscious approach to that until it's closed for you. Mm-hmm. Because you set a resolution or an objective or manifestation for a year, it may not take the full year to get there. It may take more than a year mm-hmm. to get there. So I think it's really important for people to think about how they're going to feel it or know it when it comes true for them. And that comes, I think, in your powerful question language of really phrasing it in a way that you know what you're asking for, so that you're able to really discern what it is. You know, I want more money is a great thing to do, but that's not really clear, and you don't know. You could have more by getting 50 cents more. Mm-hmm. So it's really about being very specific and very thoughtful so that you know what success looks like. You and I are both success coaches, so here we are coming back to that core thing we talked to our clients. What's your measurable outcome? How do you know that's true? And it sounds kind of trite, but I think it's really important for people to think about that as they think about this commitment process for the year. What are you really committing to? How are you going to ask for it and support it throughout the year? And then how do you know when you've gotten there? And then how do you honor that getting there? So I think closure is one way to finish it, but is that the same as honoring it?
Is that the same as honoring it? Don't you think that the act of actually achieving what you are intending and manifesting is the honoring of it?
For me, I think that's partly true. But I think there's always a bit of ceremony or acknowledgement mm-hmm. that needs to go with that. You know, as a society, my observation is we do a good job of saying thank you to others or great job or well done, but taking that minute to do that same thing for ourselves, not just acknowledging that it's finished, but saying, hey, I did this. I did something good. I am enough in this. I was successful. I think there's that process that builds your wisdom and really helps you own it and retain the best out of what you wanted to manifest when you can honor yourself for living into that commitment and moving forward. So we are getting close to the end of our time with Mary today, and one of the things that we promised was to share some kind of tips and tricks and tools and things that we use when we set these commitments. Mary, would you like to share maybe your top two favorites?
I guess I use the practice of mind mapping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody can Google that and see many different forms of it. But that's what I use to do my annual choices. And then I also, I guess, you know, the act of gratitude and powerful questions is what really moves me to mm-hmm. manifest mm-hmm. the things that I am asking for.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I use the approach of, you can go to Google or you can connect with your local favorite coach, but there's, you know, the typical life area map. There's 12 or 14 kind of common headings, if you're not familiar with that, you know, it's your home, it's your family, it's your career. So there's kind of these big slices of life. And I like to take and look at all of those and think about where I want to be different next year. And that's probably really the starting point for me. And I know we've had a wonderful, wonderful conversation today, and my friend Mary needs to leave us to join another commitment. So, Mary, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Mina. It was great talking to you.
And let everybody again know how to find you and whatever final message you'd like to leave them as they launch into 2022.
Well, you know, being the safety person that I am, I really want to wish everybody a really safe and healthy Happy New Year. You can find me if you're interested to go to zvisioncoaching.com. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me in many different places. So I do have to go. I appreciate it so much. Thank you, Nita, and I'll talk to you shortly.
Yep. Thanks for sharing your time, Mary. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
So as we think about the end of 2021, it's been a really up-and-down year. It's had all sorts of culture shifts, mind shifts, attitude shifts, work shifts. It's been truly a year of change. And I invite each of you as my listeners who are tapping into your personal wisdom and your body knowing to really think about what is it you want to call to you in 2022? What is it that you want to manifest, that you want to create more of in your life? Mary shared today the power of powerful questions. We talked a little bit about limiting beliefs. We talked about some ways that you could put this into practice. So Mary uses mind mapping. I use looking at the typical areas of your life and seeing where you're full and satisfied and where perhaps there's some discontent. You know, there's other ways of really thinking about, you know, where were my successes? So are you doing a debrief at the end of this year and saying, what didn't I get done? What would I like more of? That can be a starting place for you as well. And I would invite you to use kind of the three-step process that we talked today. Say it out loud, write it so that you can see it, and then create whatever closure ritual works for you in terms of releasing it in there, and then noticing it. As you progress through your day and your year, take the time to honor that wisdom that you created and notice what you're bringing forward. Is it moving you in the right direction? Honor yourself. Acknowledge it when you know that it's there. And really take the time to be thoughtful and mindful about who you are and how you want to show up in 2022. You know, Mary joked that I needed my own coach. We all need our coaches. We all do that. If I'm someone that you would like to work with, you can find me at personalwisdomcoachingnow.com, or as you heard from Mary, you can find her at zvisioncoaching.com. We are here to really support you in identifying how to make the changes that you want in your life, helping you build that step-by-step, week-by-week process to create success in your life, to manifest what you're looking for, and to really lean into your personal wisdom and knowing. And there's nothing that is more rewarding than knowing you are spending time on what's really the most important thing for you. That's kind of our thoughts on New Year's resolutions and why we choose to call them commitments and manifestations. I will be with you next week, and we'll be talking to you then really about that deep dive and learning to trust your wisdom and to know when you're doing the right thing. So this opportunity to do a special New Year's edition, I think, is a perfect segue into where we're going to go next Thursday with Dr. Pat and really talking about what is your wisdom, how do you honor it, how do you know it, and how do you live into it. So I am grateful that you've taken the time to tune into us today, to hear our thoughts on this powerful topic and to invite you into a space where you too can trust your wisdom. Thank you for your time today. I wish you the best at the end of the season and a very happy new year. Talk to you soon. Thanks for tuning into the Personal Wisdom Show with me, Nita Johnson. Join me every month for a conversation on key topics that will help you think about success, wisdom, and your time here in a new way. We are all here at this time for a reason. But by uncovering that, learning to live your life on purpose, we can truly change the energy and impact of the world, one human being at a time. To learn more about me, visit my website at personalwisdomcoachingnow.com. We all have a soul-level purpose.